Welcome to WHRO's Weekly Edition. I'm Jordan Christie.
And I'm Barry Graham.
We highlight the week's news and stories happening all over Hampton Roads. Happy Independence Day weekend to everyone. In this week's program, NATO is showing signs of cooperation once again with a major exercise in Hampton Roads as leaders prepare for a shift in Norfolk.
Virginia returned to the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative this week, which attaches a price to the burning of fossil fuels.
For every ton of carbon dioxide that comes out of your smokestack, a power plant owner now has to buy an allowance.
And Virginia is exploring a degree model that would allow students to obtain a bachelor's degree in 3 years instead of four. It's WHRO's Weekly Edition. NATO is showcasing cooperation at a major exercise in Hampton Roads. WHRO's Steve Walsh says it's part of a larger move as leaders prepare for a shift in Norfolk.
Now being billed as the largest Navy exercise ever conducted in the Western Atlantic, FleetX wrapped up this week with 32 ships from 17 countries. The German frigate FGS Saxon hosted U.S. Admiral Doug Perry and Commodore Marilla Ingham of the British Royal Navy.
So they get to learn a bit about different cultures and different ways of doing things, even different food on board. And I think what that's done is made them realize that we've got more that unites us than divides us.
Perry could be the last U.S. admiral to run NATO Joint Forces Command in Norfolk. He is leaving in September. Norfolk is in the process of being turned over to a British commander for the first time under a major reshuffling of the alliance. Steve Walsh, WHRO News.
Virginia lawmakers have finally approved funding for research on menhaden in the Chesapeake Bay. WHRO's Katherine Hefner breaks down the budget.
Virginia is the last place on the East Coast that allows industrial menhaden fishing in state waters. Recreational anglers and environmentalists believe the important fish are disappearing. They've long pushed for more research to figure out what's happening. Here's Will Poston with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation earlier this year.
How many menhaden are in the Chesapeake Bay? How many menhaden does the Chesapeake Bay ecosystem need? What are the impacts of this, industrial activities, etc.? We have no answers to those questions.
Legislation to fund a study has failed several times at the General Assembly, but last minute, Governor Spanberger added a budget amendment that gives $2 million to the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. Industry representatives said in a statement they support the research, including an analysis of how cutting the menhaden harvest could impact the workforce. Katherine Hafner, WHRO News.
Virginia has received nearly $69 million over the past 5 years to test and treat so-called forever chemicals in drinking water.
But state officials say the cost of addressing contaminants statewide could be much higher.
WHRO's Yiching Wang has more.
Dwayne Rotkap with the Virginia's Office of Drinking Water says the federal funding has supported PFAS testing at small municipal water systems. The $14.3 million allocated for Virginia this year will fund projects such as treatment systems, replacement water sources, and water line extensions. But Rotkap says PFAS treatment could cost the state as much as $900 million upfront, plus up to $88 million a year to operate. In Newport News, one PFAS compound was periodically found in the city's water at level close to or slightly above the new federal limit that will take effect in 2029. The utility has started replacing existing filters with granular activated carbon. Yiching Wang, WHRO News.
This summer, eligible Virginia families will receive Sunbucks, a grocery benefit designed to help feed children when school is out of session. WMRA's Angelie Schindler reports at some farmers markets, those dollars can stretch even further.
Fresh fruits and vegetables can be hard to afford. For many Virginia families, that's especially true during the summer, when many school meal programs pause and grocery bills rise. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that retail fresh vegetables were nearly 12% more expensive in May compared to this time last year. Prices for fresh tomatoes alone were up 32%. State programs such as Sunbucks and Virginia Fresh Match aim to help bridge the gap between families' income and having fresh produce on the plate. Sunbucks, which launched in 2024, provides a one-time payment of $120 per child to families who qualify for free or reduced-price school meals or receive other income-based public benefits. That money can be used to buy fruits, vegetables, meat, dairy, and whole grains at grocery stores and farmers markets authorized by SNAP.
You know, summer can be a really hungry time for kids.
Jess McClelland is communications manager for Virginia Fresh Match. Fresh Match doubles the value of each Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and Sunbucks dollars spent on fruits and vegetables at participating farmers markets and grocery stores.
So, for example, if I spend $10 in SNAP at the Waynesboro Farmers Market, I'll get $10 in tokens to spend on any SNAP-eligible items. So that could be bread, eggs, meat, anything like that. I'll get an additional $10 in tokens to spend on fresh fruits and vegetables or food-producing plants and seeds.
For Am Showers, a single mother visiting the Waynesboro Farmers Market, healthy food often comes with difficult choices.
Oh, yeah. Groceries are really freaking expensive right now.
Showers was recently approved for SNAP benefits after previously relying on them several years ago.
Having SNAP benefits has opened up opportunities to eat healthier and not sit there and like second guess if I can afford to make sure we're both fed all week long with healthy choices.
She says programs that make fresh food more affordable can make a real difference for families living paycheck to paycheck.
And it sucks because it's so expensive to live healthy.
McClelland says that's a challenge she hears often.
Fruits and vegetables are often one of the first things that people cut out of their grocery budgets when they fall on hard times.
McClelland frequently gets feedback from Fresh Match beneficiaries that
this makes a huge difference for my family.
But she says the benefits extend beyond individual shoppers.
All of that money is being spent with local producers, local businesses, people who actually live in the communities and work there and create jobs there.
Virginia Fresh Match estimates that more than $2.2 million in SNAP and matching funds were spent through the program last year, generating roughly $4.1 million in economic impact statewide. The organization says more than 1,000 farmers benefited from those purchases. Brian Jones owns Poplar Ridge Farms in Goshen, which sells produce at the Waynesboro Farmers Market. He says accepting SNAP and Virginia Fresh Match helps connect more families with fresh, locally grown food.
Well, it opens up a lot of doors as far as access goes, not only for us to be able to sell to more folks who might not otherwise be able to purchase, you know, our stuff, but also just from the standpoint of them being able to get high quality stuff for their family.
Jones says those purchases ripple through the local economy.
I think if they knew how many folks they were supporting behind the scenes, and, you know, it is a family operation, but we employ, you know, a large number of people and they're all local. All of our employees come from the community, from the area, and they have families as well. So they're supporting not only our farm, but also, you know, five other families as well.
Many eligible families are automatically enrolled in the Sunbucks program, and benefits are being issued on a rolling basis. To check eligibility requirements and apply for the program, visit the Virginia Department of Social Services website. I'm Anjali Schindler.
Still ahead on Weekly Edition, Virginia Beach approved a $19 million project to redevelop a hotel at the oceanfront. But first, Chesapeake Public Schools' search for a superintendent is officially over. The district has not announced who will take the position, but said Monday it started negotiating a contract. Natalia Nelson reports for WHRO News.
The Chesapeake School Board has selected a new superintendent to lead the school district. It's unclear when they will assume the role. Current Superintendent Jared Cotton was set to retire July 1st after serving the role since 2018, but will stay until his successor is in place. The school board has not released the names of the finalists for the position. It approved a contract to extend Cotton's tenure through June 2027, while it has time to complete the hiring and contract negotiation process. The board said Cotton should only serve for the next few months while those steps are taken to ensure a smooth transition. Natalia Nelson, WHRO News.
Chesapeake Public Schools are a member of HERETA, which holds WHRO's license. Wednesday marks Virginia's return to the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, known as REGGIE. WHRO's Katherine Hefner gives insight into what that means for Virginians.
Almost a dozen East Coast states participate in REGGIE. Power plant operators like Dominion Energy have to bid at quarterly auctions. Nate Benferrato with the Southern Environmental Law Center says the market doesn't ban burning fossil fuels, but it puts a price on it.
For every ton of carbon dioxide that comes out of your smokestack, a power plant owner now has to buy an allowance. And those allowances are going to get harder and harder to come by.
Dominion plans to pass on the cost of rejoining through a monthly bill charge of about $10. But Ben Ferrato says long-term,
REGI is the tool that helps us secure energy independence, where we don't have to worry about our bills skyrocketing every year, every winter, every time there's some conflict that affects fuel prices.
Virginia's new budget will also divert some revenue from REGI into energy rebates for customers. Catherine Hafner, WHRO News.
A Matthews County man is part of a clinical trial that could change what treatment can look like for pancreatic cancer. WHRO's Yiching Wang has more on his medical journey.
When Brett Dugay's cancer returned last year, his doctor recommended finding a clinical trial. Dugay enrolled at Duke University and began taking daraxonrasib, a targeted pancreatic cancer pill now available to some patients through an expanded access program.
You can get good care through your local cancer center. And especially with daraxonrasib, any oncologist can request it for a patient. It can be administered by an oncologist at a small local community cancer center.
He says within a day, pain in his groin and leg disappeared. His scans have since shown no visible evidence of disease. The drug is not yet fully FDA approved, but doctors say the expanded access program could help rural patients get treatment closer to home. Yiching Wang, WHRO News.
It's illegal to sell raw milk for human consumption in Virginia.
But those who get it through herd shares, funding the care and feeding of cows on farms where it's produced, say it's worth the trouble, even as nutrition scientists warn, drink at your own risk.
WMRA's Christine Cuter wades into the milky legality and health hazards of raw milk.
10-year-old Gwenny Lavoy has been drinking raw milk since she was 3.
I like it better than store-bought milk because I feel that it's healthier. I like the taste better. I don't know why, but it just tastes different. When we grow strawberries and tomatoes, we just eat them right off the plant, and we don't, like, buy them from stores, and we have more of a country life, so I like raw milk better.
Gwenny's mom, Mabby, who grew up on a cattle farm, has been getting raw milk for her family of 6 since moving from Fairfax to Albemarle County in 2019.
I have always gravitated towards minimally processed foods, whether we have made our own bread or, I mean, I've made yogurt or just anything we purchase. I've always gravitated towards minimally processed foods because there's a lot of stuff put in our food. That's really been my thing.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that about 2% of Americans who prepare meals at home consume raw milk each week. That's about 3.2 million people. While rules about selling raw milk vary by state, in Virginia, it's illegal to sell unpasteurized milk for human consumption, but there's a way around the law.
Okay, this is the cooler that we have all of our empty jars in.
Those who want raw milk buy herd shares from farmers, which help pay for the care and upkeep of animals in exchange for regular dairy deliveries or drop-offs. The Lavoys pick up 3 gallons each week from Windy Hill Farm in Keezeltown, where dairy farmers John Welsh and Corrine Warnes graze their 12 Jersey cows. The Lavoys say the price is right, too.
When I was looking at the cost of organic whole milk versus joining a herd share and getting our raw milk, the cost was the same. So you have $7 a gallon for the whole milk organic on the shelves and the same cost for raw milk. And I was like, and the delivery spot was right around the corner. And I said, well, that's a no-brainer.
Nutrition experts aren't as convinced.
So it's kind of like drink at your own risk.
Catherine Bassbaum is a registered dietitian at UVA Health.
How well do you know the person or the farm getting this raw milk for you from the cows? Are they mindful of udder infections? Are they mindful of fecal matter in the tanks? You know, all the reasons why raw milk can be dangerous, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, all these potential outcomes.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, between 1998 and 2018, there were 202 outbreaks linked to raw milk that caused thousands of illnesses and 228 hospitalizations from bacteria such as Salmonella, E. coli, Listeria, and Campylobacter. Dairies such as Creambrook Farm in Middlebrook regularly test their animals and milk, but owner Ben Beichler says that process is far from perfect.
Some of our information we can get back within 24 hours. Population tests, those are very, very quick. Specific tests like pathogen testing, those can take a frustrating long amount of time for them to get back on, you know, what the results are. When you're dealing with a really short shelf life product, like raw milk, where it goes out 1 week and it's consumed and it's refreshed the next week, it just makes the process trickier.
Still, Beichler says, Creambrook, which he started with his wife in 2017, is busier than ever. Back at the Lavoies, raw milk's not just for drinking. They use it to make butter, sourdough bread, yogurt, biscuits, pancakes, even homemade Alfredo sauce.
We own a small share in the cattle, which is cool. I wish I could milk my own cow here, but I don't have the fencing. I don't have the infrastructure. But man, if I had fencing, we would have had a dairy cow already.
Both Windy Hill and Creambrook Farms exclusively raise Jersey cows, which produce milk with a higher fat content than other cow varieties like Holstein. No matter the breed, though, raw milk tends to have a higher fat content compared to pasteurized whole milk. Creambrook Farms raw milk contains about 13 grams of fat per cup, 9 of which are saturated, almost half the recommended daily allowance of saturated fat. Dietitian Bassbaum and the federal government's Dietary Guidelines for Americans urge people to get fewer than 10% of their calories from saturated fat. A cup of pasteurized whole milk contains about a quarter of the recommended allowance of saturated fat. No matter the fat percentage, though, all milk is a good source of protein, Bassbaum says. I'm Christine Cuter.
People in Hampton Roads are learning to make their own guitars by hand under the guidance of a luthier. WHRO's John Doucette strums this story from Virginia Beach.
At Hawkins Guitar, the sound of sanding becomes this. Brian Hawkins runs the school. He's a luthier who builds custom guitars, repairs instruments, and teaches people how to adjust their guitars so they sound and play better. Many students even learn how to build instruments by hand. It's exacting work, Hawkins says, but worth it.
You just do it, and if you push yourself, you keep doing better. You know, you make yourself fix the things you did wrong and fix them well. Fix them better than you were doing them the first time. Otherwise, you don't learn.
In some cases, it can take a year or more for students to build instruments. But they say they're learning craftsmanship and creating guitars they can play for a lifetime. John Doucette, WHRO News.
Getting a bachelor's degree in Virginia could soon take less time. The state is exploring a model that would allow students to obtain a degree in 3 years instead of four. WHRO's Ashley White reports.
The Scaling College in 3 initiative is part of a national movement that wants to reduce the time and money students spend getting a degree. Higher education leaders from Virginia and Ohio will meet over the next year with national experts to discuss the possibility. Currently, both states require students to obtain 120 credits to receive a bachelor's degree. The goal is to create 290-credit degree programs by spring 2028, according to a spokesperson from the State Council of Higher Education for Virginia. The organization's executive director, Scott Fleming, said in a statement that he hopes to, quote, develop pathways that are rigorous, relevant, and responsive to today's students and the workforce. Ashley White, WHRO News.
Virginia Beach city leaders approved a financing plan for a $19 million project to redevelop a hotel at the oceanfront. WHRO's Lydia Winstead says the project will be funded in part by a state program, which redirects tax revenue to boost tourism projects.
The Ramada Plaza on Atlantic Avenue is set to become the new Hotel Indigo by next year. City Council approved a $5 million financing plan to help the developer offset the cost of the project. Once the hotel is up and running, some of the sales tax generated by the hotel will be given back to the developer. It's the same program used to redevelop the Cavalier Hotel. Lyndall Stone is with Commonwealth Commercial Partners, who's behind the Hotel Indigo project.
Just even on the surface, you know, you're improving the look of the oceanfront as a resident and the product that's on the oceanfront, which is exciting in and of itself.
Stone says he expects the project to be a net tax benefit for the city. The Ramada Plaza will close at the end of the summer, and the new hotel is expected to open in May 2027. Lydia Winstead, WHRO News.
A flu outbreak at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio has now affected 275 recruits, according to Texas Congressman Joaquin Castro.
The outbreak started weeks after the military stopped requiring troops to receive flu shots, citing medical autonomy and religious freedom.
Now the armed services have partially reversed that decision as it comes under scrutiny from the medical community. Bonnie Petrie reports for the American Homefront Project.
In April, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth changed the Pentagon's policy on vaccines.
We're seizing this moment to discard any absurd, overreaching mandates that only weaken our warfighting capabilities,
making flu shots voluntary for all troops.
And that's why I'm proud to sign this new policy.
And according to the chief of infectious diseases at UT Health Houston, Dr. Luis Ostrowski, creating a, quote, epidemiological time bomb.
Military settings are prime for transmission. So when you have an introduction of a highly communicable disease, it's just going to spread like wildfire.
And that's what happened. Hundreds of troops in boot camp at Lackland started getting sick with influenza. The Air Force also said one trainee died June 12th because of a medical emergency, but did not say whether it was flu-related. Secretary Hegseth said making the shots voluntary would pose no threat to the military's readiness. But Ostrowski says that's exactly what it did. He says young, healthy people like those in boot camp may be less likely to die from the flu, but they still get sick.
So they're not combat ready in this day and time that we're, you know, having several conflicts throughout the world. So it's very strategic to be recommending vaccines.
San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones, a Democrat, previously served as Undersecretary for the Air Force. She says there is a direct link between Hegseth's decision to lift the vaccine mandate and this outbreak at her city's base.
Regardless of whether you want to believe it, science is a thing, right? And it's really unfortunate that we're playing politics with people's public health and with things like vaccines.
Once the Pentagon made the flu vaccine optional, only 40% of Lackland spring trainees chose to get it, according to the Associated Press. It quoted a source who asked to be anonymous because the information is not public. But Ostrowski doesn't blame the recruits. He says medical misinformation about vaccines is the real fuel for this outbreak.
People are questioning whether they work or not. They're questioning about side effects or not. So in this background, we're asking young people that sometimes don't make the best decisions for themselves to make the decision about getting the vaccine or not.
In mid-June, the military backed off part of the policy. All of the service branches were granted exceptions that allow them to, again, mandate vaccines for trainees. A Pentagon statement said the decision was based upon risk assessments and was designed to maximize operational readiness while safeguarding at-risk populations. Ostrowski says that's a good first step, but would like to see flu shot mandates restored for all active duty troops.
The vaccination schedules that have been in place in the military are the result of decades of actual research and very deliberate thinking and creating guidelines, and it works.
According to the AP, the Army and Navy have also asked the Pentagon for permission to make flu shots mandatory for troops deploying overseas, healthcare workers, and childcare workers. I'm Bonnie Petrie reporting.
You've been listening to WHRO's Weekly Edition. We had help today from WHRO's John Doucette, Catherine Hafner, Natalia Nelson, Steve Walsh, Yiching Wang, Ashley White, and Lydia Winstead.
WMRA's Angelie Schindler and Christine Cuter, and Bonnie Petrie with the American Homefront Project. Also, Connor Worley, who produced today's show.
A reminder that you can always catch full episodes on the Weekly Edition podcast feed.
You can get your news updates at WHRO.org and the WHRO Reports podcast feed. For all of us at WHRO and WHRV, I'm Barry Graham.
And I'm Jordan Christie. Have a great weekend and happy 250.